Oh, man, I hate Mondays.
Nah, man, it's Tuesday.
Wait. What day is it?
You know what day it is. Tuesday. Bruise Day Tuesday.
Oh, fuck yeah! It's time for Bruise Day Tuesday. Here's Drez and Big Nate.
So that's not entirely true. It's not Drez and Big Nate. It is Big Nate and Kyle, but we persevere in spite of that. Welcome to another Bruise Day Tuesday. I have once again invited Kyle to, it's his show this week, so Kyle actually was kind enough to invite me and not invite someone else to do the Bruise Day Tuesday thing. Kyle, first of all, how you doing? Did you recover well after the first Bruise Day Tuesday?
Yeah. It took a little time, but I'm back. Good to be back.
I'm glad to have you back, and we're going to drink some beer this time. I let you curate this show. Again, I say I let. Really had no choice in the matter. You curated this show that I'm very excited for because it's not something that we get to do often enough with Drez because of his aversion to stouts and... He just doesn't love stouts. That's fine. I'm not going to judge him for it. I mean, I might. He's not here. What's he going to do? Fight me? And you went to a six-pack store. Not giving out any free advertising or any free names, but I think I saw what you picked, and I'm pretty impressed. We may have had one of these on Bruise Day Tuesday before, but I know we've not had the one that I've got here. I'm going to let you take it away, though, and describe your process in choosing, and then we'll talk about what we have.
It's like you would have said, there's not been too many episodes of Bruise Day Tuesday that have been stouts, and me personally, when it comes to beer, and I'm not, you know, drinking just the drink, I'll always choose a stout. It's something about it. I don't know if it's because it's a darker or if it's just it's something about the flavor of a stout that's when it's like for dinner or something like that, it's my go-to beer.
All right, so... We may have talked about this before off air. How do you feel about coffee?
Love coffee.
Yeah, you love coffee. And that's another one of those. Drez does not like coffee at all. We did an Irish coffee episode at one point and a lot of fun. I thought I was going to convert him, but no such luck. And I think that there's a lot of parallels between stouts and coffee. Of course, you're coming out of the gate swinging with the Samuel Smith's stouts. What do you got over there?
Over here, I got the oatmeal stout.
And what's the ABV?
Let me see if I can find it here on the bottle.
It's European. They print things weirdly, and it'll be no different on my bottle as well.
I definitely should have looked for this before we got on the air.
But I do know... Well, so you've got the Tatty Caster, their oatmeal stout. And I know, at least in my opinion... The best and the brightest stouts come out of the Samuel Smith brewery.
Yeah, I am not finding an ABV on this bottle.
I think, I want to say it's around, so mine is above the picture on the back because there's a picture on the back of the label on mine. But
yeah,
I want
mine is not
okay.
There.
Well, so I've got the Imperial Stout. It's 7%. And, of course, brewed at Samuel Smith's small traditional British brewery with well water. The original well, sunk in 1758, is still in use, so don't ask them about that. They're very proud of it. Best barley malt, roasted barley, yeast, and hops to create a rich, flavorful ale. Deep chocolate in color with a roasted barley nose and flavor that is a complexity of malt, hops, and yeast. It's fermented in stone Yorkshire squares. This distinctive type of ale was originally shipped to Imperial Russia, a favorite of Russian nobility. So we're drinking like... I don't know any famous Russian nobility.
I don't either, but even like the bottle is a seltzer.
Rasputin, would he have been considered nobility? I'm going to go with Rasputin. Love this.
We'll let it slide. Well, you can tell even the bottles with the gold foil on the top or whatever, they're trying to make it look like it's a fancier, noble beer.
No, we need to test the gold and see if we can... Let's break it down. After we're done here, we're going to break this gold down. We're going to take it to a pawn shop, see what we can get for this gold foil. But so you were sharing off air that you've never had an oatmeal stout before.
And that is correct, yes.
I'm very excited to kind of see how you feel about it. What's your background on stouts? So you kind of regularly go for them, but what's your, I mean, pick your poison. What's your stout of choice?
So my favorite one I've had so far, and I don't know if you ended up getting it when you went to the Mellow Mushroom, but they have a red velvet stout. I don't know if they still do or not, but they had it about a year and a half ago when I went, and that was incredible. When it comes to like a beer that tastes like a red velvet cake, you can't really get much better than that.
So I very recently learned, like within the past 2 months, what red velvet cake was. I've never ordered it before. Drez was at Sonic Temple.
Okay.
His wife was not. She was kind enough to come join us for dinner, and she's like, I want to bring a dessert. So she brought red velvet cake, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is, but I'll try it because you brought it. Red velvet is chocolate.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I've been avoiding a whole like style of cake because I was like, I don't want red velvet. Velvet just has like a negative really connotation, good. But it's delicious.
Yeah. like I said, I don't know if Mellow Mushroom still has it, but they used to have a red velvet stout that they would serve on their menu, and it was really good.
All right, so you like the red velvet, but I mean, obviously that's very specific. Like Mellow Mushroom, what are your, you know, you kind of keep on hand.
So I like the, in the apartment now, the only one I've got is Guinness. You got to have Guinness. It's the go-to, especially the one that's got the nitro infused. You can't really get much better than that. But usually I try to go for like the sweeter, like cakier flavored stouts whenever I go out and actually shop for them.
So I think you don't like stouts. You like baked goods.
Well, that's true, and so do you. So
I don't. We've talked about that. I do not like baked goods. It's not my thing. I like candy. It's straight up candy. And I think that's why, like, I get it. There are those things where there's a transition between food and beverage where you kind of like a lot of the overlapping things. In my case, it's, you know, straight candy, not chocolate. Things like gummy bears, gummy worms, sour gummies. I like sours. If you like baked goods, you're probably going to like a stout.
Yeah. And when it comes to like the food aspect, I'm the opposite of you. I much prefer baked goods over candy in the first place.
What's your favorite baked good?
As of what? Like between cakes, brownies, just, cookies? You know,
gun to your head, this is going to be your last meal or your last dessert, as it were. What are you asking for?
I think I've mentioned this to you before. I don't know if it was on the air last time we were here or not, but the chocolate eclair cake.
That's right.
My go-to.
And your sister makes that for you?
Yes, every year for my birthday. I don't get a birthday cake. I get a chocolate eclair.
And pie. You got to have pie for your birthday. Just give it a shot once.
Why mess up something that's gone so well for over 18 years?
Has it gone well or is it just gone?
Both.
So, in the meantime, what have you been up to since we last spoke on Brews Day Tuesday?
Well, with how...
Was there... I know your tattoo is still healing. We didn't talk about your tattoo last week.
That's true. We didn't.
We should probably talk about that because I've been dying to break out my Sharpies and do some coloring on your tattoo.
No, you can't be doing that.
It's still healing. I know. I understand. You want to go ahead and show it? To those watching on video, Kyle's got a lovely tattoo. It is great work. Do you want to give some background on that though?
So, family heritage for me, it's, from on my dad's side from Norway, like the Viking type area. So my dad and I have always been big fans of the Viking symbolism and stuff like that. And my freshman year of college, my grandmother had passed away. So this tattoo, it's the Viking symbol for, they didn't have a word for grandmother, but it's mother of my mother or mother of my father. So that's what this represents. I got it just as a way to memorialize her.
And I never really thought about that. Not your grandmother. I never really thought about your grandmother much outside of this tattoo. And I do think it's a very important tattoo. I like that you got it. I like the meaning behind it. But yeah, there is. That's where you run into last names like Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Erickson. It's all like son of son, daughter of daughter. And it's a fascinating, very clunky way to label things.
That's why when I was looking for the design or whatever, I had to look to make sure it was mother of father and not mother of mother, because those are two completely different designs. And
at least you have the benefit with that of there not being a situation where, Because I think the first thing I said to you when you showed it to me is they spelled it wrong.
Yeah. That's also like why I don't get lettering and stuff like that in my tattoos. Because that way, not everybody's going to know what it is. But, I mean...
Yeah, it'd be horrible. You get like one of those Japanese caricatures and you think it says peace, but it actually says combo number 5.
Yeah. So I feel like with the Viking and Celtic culture, they have a symbol for everything. And that one symbol means that one thing.
And I think there is a beauty to that. This is the whole, we're actually breaking down the whole reason I don't have a tattoo right now is that the meaning of, I mean, even just in the confines of the English language has changed so much, even since I've been alive, since you've been alive. Beyond that, there are things, I mean, for me, like a big thing is horror movies and film in general, like, God forbid I had gotten that Kevin Spacey tattoo I wanted. He was great in 7, maybe also kind of a creep. So I always like am very hesitant. Like, do I want this permanently on my body? You can always get it covered up. Like, what would be your strategy if, you know, God forbid you've got another tattoo? I'm not going to ask you to show it on air. You can if you want to.
No, we'll leave that.
That's all up to you. But what do you have here?
It's another Viking symbol. It's called a Valknut. Basically, it's the three triangles symbol, and it means life, death, and afterlife. And then, like I said, I'm not a fan of lettering, so I got that one from my dad. And in Viking runes, it's his first and last name, and then his birth and death date on the bottom.
Now, what if you found out that also had like some alternative meaning? Would you want to cover that up? I mean, obviously, you've attached that meaning, you've attached that significance to your father, but...
So for mine, with mine just being black and gray, covering up would be very difficult.
That's true.
To put a new tattoo over it. Most of it would have to be removed or blacked out.
So, like, what if you found out, you know, some... I mean, there's a perfect example of this is, like, the swastika is a Hindu symbol.
Yeah.
Traditionally, originally, and then it was, of course, appropriated for what we all know it for, and it has this horrendous meaning now. Would you back down from that, or would you own that?
If I had gotten it for the Hindu... reason or the meaning, like if that was part of the culture I was in, I'd just roll with it. But
yeah, and that's a tricky battle. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, and I think to you it has such a meaning and significance that would be hard.
Yeah, that's why for me with these, I made sure to do my research. I spent months making sure I was getting the right symbol and stuff like that, and that's what I pretty much tell anybody that asks me about getting a tattoo is you need to make sure you look into what it is you're getting.
Which one hurt worse?
Definitely the one on my chest.
Not a lot of meat there.
Well, really,
just
it was when
just
it
vibrating
got,
on your rib cage.
It got close to my sternum, and then when it started to go under my armpit, it hurt.
All right. Well, maybe at some point I will finally pull the trigger and get some ink. But today is not that day. Today is the day that we're drinking stouts. How do you feel so far about Samuel Smith's Teddy Caster, the oatmeal stout?
The oatmeal one's really good. I love it.
How does it compare? Like, I feel like it can't be that far off from the Red Velvet. There's not a lot of chocolate in the oatmeal stout, but there's a lot of sweetness and creaminess.
Yeah, that's the thing I've liked about it is it doesn't, I wouldn't say it tastes like oatmeal, but it is sweeter than, say, if you were to just go out and grab a Guinness or something like that. It's definitely a sweeter stout, and that's what's drawn me to it a little more than any other stout.
So have you had time between last week and this week to get an Untappd account? Login.
I'm going to be username. Honest with you. I may have forgotten.
That's okay.
You got to remind me.
I'm sure K-Dog 1053 isn't taken. So maybe after we're done here, we'll go ahead and get you on there as K-Dog 1053. But scale of 0 to 5, what are we giving that Teddy Caster?
I'd go a good 4.5 on this one.
4.5. See, that one's a 5 for me. But I like that you leave room for improvement. That's one of my all-time favorites. That being said, when we talk about room for improvement and giving that a 5 kind of feels like a disservice to this Imperial Stout I've got here, which is going to be a 5. And I feel like my ratings just slowly, the more beer I have, my ratings just slowly start to lose meaning. I mean, it's 7%. I feel like an Imperial here would be, you know, upwards of 8. So the ABV is lower on the lower side for an Imperial Stout, but this is absolutely delicious. It doesn't run hot like you find with a lot of the higher ABV beers. It's smooth. Just kind of got like a chocolatey roasted note going on. I mean, it's a 5. I'm Big Nate Danger on Untappd, by the way. He will be K-Dog 105.3 if I have my way.
But what I'm hearing from you is you found your brewery when it comes to stouts.
Oh, 100%. I think they make the best stouts there are. Guinness, don't get me wrong. I do love a good Guinness. But Guinness, I mean, that averages, even the Nitro, if you get the actual Irish version versus the Canadian version,
yeah,
it's still hovering around a 4.25. Like, it's never been a 5 for me, because I feel like what they have in mass production, they lack in replicating what I assume is the experience if you're actually in their brewery in Dublin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going across the world, so credit where credit is due. Guinness makes a good product, and you're not going to go wrong with a Guinness.
Yeah, like you said,
for
a mass-produced beer like Guinness, they still... they hit their mark,
yeah.
But there are ones out there that are like the Sam Smiths that are better.
Yeah, Sam Smith. I mean, this is a 5, and of course, with that, it is time. This is actually Kyle's show, so I'm going to let Kyle determine exactly what we should be playing, and I'm going to let him wrap this up.
Well, I've mentioned it to you earlier, since you're the one actually behind the computer putting the stuff in. We got to go with some Limp Bizkit. I don't hear it often enough here on the Bear. I know it plays during the retro lunch, you mentioned that to me, but it's not too often I'm out and about listening to the radio around lunchtime.
We are down with the biscuit. We'll get you some biscuit.
The one I requested, we're going to keep on rolling.
On 105.3 The Bear.